wanna be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we could keep in touch, like they did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago.
Hey, folks, you're listening to episode 2 of Pen Pals over here at Team Coco. That was Patrick Keenan from The Winter Sounds coming at you with our award-winning theme song for the podcast. If you're a new listener and you don't believe it and you say, oh, they don't give out awards for podcast theme songs, how about you grow up? How about you grow up and do your research? Because we have won gold medals in several events, but definitely in podcast theme song.
Do we display them? No, we don't like to brag. We're not also, braggers.
And also, if anyone goes, I've listened to it one time and I didn't get me right away. You're an alien, but go listen to it one more time.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And if you're like, guys, look, I don't really like the theme song. I'm not going to lie to you. This show might not be for you. This might not. What Daniel and I are cooking up. I mean, it might. If that theme song is the soul of what we're dishing out.
You're drawing a line in the sand.
I'm a sand line drawer.
Why
you know
it
that?
Sand? Why is it never like gravel?
Always the it's harder.
It is harder, but like nobody's ever like had an argument. Nobody's like given an ultimatum like in a field.
Also, like, have you ever actually seen someone physically draw a line and then look at someone and be like, "Don't cross that"?
Only in like 1980s sitcoms where they divide the house for
exactly with like tape.
Yeah. I think I tried to do that.
Like this is the specific Perfect Strangers episode you're talking about.
No, it happened a lot.
Sometimes the world looks perfect.
What is that?
That's Perfect Strangers.
Oh, wow. We're going to get sued. But that was, you have a great voice, Roar.
I need that. I need that to be true.
It is true.
Folks. So,
hey, do you, just real quick before we go where we go. Anything new in your world?
You know, here's the deal. If you haven't watched Physical on Apple TV Plus, the first season is winding down. So get out there, check it out. Almost all 10 episodes of the season are going to be posted. I got some dates that are going to be popping up on my website for some comedy clubs in October, November, December. Not a ton, but, you know, some. Get dipping my toe. I'm no Daniel Van Kirk, who's out there doing a 382 city tour right now. I'm not like him.
No, I'm working on it. I'm trying.
Yeah.
August 11th is when that kicks off.
But if you're new and you're like, wait, what is this show? First off, we have a lot of episodes you can go check out. And if you aren't new and you like this, go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, show us some love, and as we'd like to say here, help us grow the show. Hashtag grow the show. Tell people that you think would enjoy this show. Tell them to tune in and check it out. It happens all the time, and people end up loving this show.
Speaking of, Rory, in honor of people rating, reviewing, and subscribing,
here we go.
July 28th was our first episode as part of Team Coco.
Casey Wilson.
I went to the podcast on iTunes. I looked at our reviews, and we have a review from exactly 1 year before to the day.
Oh, my God.
July 28th, 2020. Do you want to hear it? And then we'll go.
I would love to.
It's kind of great. First of all, it is a perfect July review. This is from a year ago. 5 stars. Love that.
Such a strange month, you know.
From Vito Francesco. What a name.
Love Vito.
What a name.
Already a rock star.
Could have, like, got drafted to a minor league baseball team. Francesco.
Or painter, wild painter. That's crushing
it. Or like restaurateur in San Diego.
Owns a restaurant group. You know how that's a thing that no one knew. You growing up, you didn't know about.
No. Okay, ready? Hey, y'all. Also didn't see that coming.
Southern,
I'm not trying to
so
judge
it, Southern. Like, hey, Vito y'all. Coming in with the y'all.
Here's the recipe for plain, not vanilla ice cream. You could argue that it's cream flavored ice cream, but do you really want to split hairs during the quar? 1 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of water, 1 cup heavy cream, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Heat sugar and water till sugar resolves. Pour into heavy cream with salt and whisk until incorporated. Pour mixture into an ice cream spinner and mix for 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the machine. Then put in the freezer. If you don't have an ice cream machine, put your cream mix in the freezer until it's very cold. Then pour it in a mason jar with a tight lid. Put the mason jar in a bucket and fill with ice. Sprinkle a liberal amount of salt on the ice and put your lid on the bucket. Kick the bucket around your yard for about an hour with your friends and family. And in about a half hour to an hour, you'll have the closest thing to plain ice cream you can get with a bucket and a jar. I'm not
joking. And a broken ankle.
I'm not joking. This is a real recipe. I've made ice cream for the president.
Okay.
Barack.
You know what? Someone's talking about kicking buckets.
We went Vito Francesco, we went y'all, we went bucket kicking, we went plain cream ice cream making with
I am friends president. With Barack.
Love Francesco. P.S. Did y'all know there's a book called The 80-20 Principle that's getting to be a throwback at this point, but my pallers will know what I mean. Hashtag 80-20. If that's not a great review 1 year to the day before this, where we are now as part of Team Coco, I don't know what is. Plus, just a whole bunch of people kicking a bucket around making ice cream.
Just kick that bucket. Just a real bad soccer game, you know? A real bad soccer practice.
All right, you want to go?
Let's go to the ladder!
I love that.
I try to hit the rah, you know, the whatever
yeah,
that
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the gravel in it. You're drawing a line.
I try to hit the gravel voice as much as I can. Daniel, I reached up just before you were able to run over here to the pile of letters that we have. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed one from a good buddy who, by the way, always let us know if we can say your name or not in these letters. Buddy Owen, here we go. Congrats and animal wizards. That's going to be the subject line. Pen pals. I like that. Peace, neutral, peaceful. So excited for you guys moving to Team Coco. I love you guys. I love Conan and I love the other podcasts on Team Coco, including Dad's, which was the reason I went looking for more stuff with Rory and found Pen Pals a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to see what this delicious Pen Pals / Team Coco combination will be like. You know what? Daniel and I are in that same boat.
Yeah.
We're on week two. It's your podcast. We just talk about it. Mm-hmm. So you guys are doing a lot of the steering and you might not
realize. They're part of it too. It's the Pen Pals, us, which we're part of, obviously. And then Team Coco. It's everybody.
Everybody's in.
Collab.
I have a topic. A little while ago, I was visiting my parents and I ended up watching some squirrels for a really long time. And I got to wondering, just your classic visiting family, bored AF. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Greg, you want to come inside?
Honestly, what I'm doing now just feels better for me.
Can you don't want cake? We're doing cake.
No.
I'll get some in a bit.
I'm going to stay out on the definitely needs a leaf blower back porch.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to be out here on this uneven patio.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that animal consciousness is not at all different from ours. They are just more intuitive than logical. In other words, they don't think in words. It's all emotion. They experience the world directly without this weird filter that logic puts over everything. I wonder if that's true, the emotion.
We'll dig into it.
I'm one of those people that just believes everything. You know what I mean? It just makes things easier. Just believe.
Way stuff. Easier.
Quit asking questions. That's always been my approach.
You end up in a lot of cults, but you also make a lot of friends.
That's right. You get a lot of buds.
Nobody talks about the friendships in the cults.
The bonds. That's what people are fighting for. It's not for the cult. It's for those relationships that developed in this cult. So if they are just like us, and some of them are wizards, such a great sentence.
Yeah.
What if you were to save the life of a squirrel wizard and it granted you magic powers as a reward? Nobody saw where this letter was going.
I know.
Would the squirrel wizard be able to understand what a human might want, or would it just give you whatever powers a squirrel thought were most useful, like being invisible to predatory birds or being able to remember where you buried all of your acorns last year? Who's to say this isn't happening all the time with various animals who don't really get what us humans are trying to do with all our building and driving around? I mean, I am a human, and I still don't really know what we're supposed to be doing. Who's to say my own idea of a useful superpower would be any better than a squirrel's? Anyway, we'll never know most of the things that go on in the universe. Love, Owen. He, him, you can say my name if applicable. Love the word applicable. Owen. It's fun to say.
This letter went deep, Roar.
Can I tell you my favorite sentence?
Yeah. Oh, I am.
This is my favorite question slash.
I mean, I am a human.
Yeah.
That was when I feel like somebody was like, Owen, come inside. It's getting dark. I'm writing a letter to my friends.
I am typing something to my pen pals.
Owen, everybody's in the car. We're going back home now. You don't need to sit on the patio anymore.
This is my favorite sentence. I mean, I am a human and I still don't really know what we're supposed to be doing.
I know.
The reason that is my favorite sentence is because it is correct and no one does and no one ever will. No one ever will.
Right.
It's all philosophical. It's all perspective.
Right.
What you think you're supposed to be doing.
It's all like whatever trauma or encouragement, like whatever happened to you to make you feel like this is my goal, right? And very few people ever even find out or explore their true life's passion. So, you and I, like, we feel like we should be doing comedy, but is that like the most altruistic, like, purpose for our human life? Like, I don't even want to go down that road.
I will tell you it is not.
Right. Of course it isn't. But some people, Rory, there are people who would say, like, we've gotten pennies and pounds. You'd be like, and we're not alone in this. So many people have podcasts. I feel like we are special.
Well, there's like five other podcasts. Right. Don't act like there's a ton, but, like, and everyone has one.
Like, we get of people being like, hey, you guys got me through a really tough spot. Like, that was a hard time in my life. Remember, we got a letter a long time ago from a guy who banked. His relationship was coming to an end. He knew he had to move out on a certain day of it was like a month away, and he saved up like five episodes of Pen Pals just to get him through that day, right? Yeah. And so, like, in that sense, if the goal is to, like, humans should be helping other humans, I would say our endeavor of passion of comedy paid off. But yes, it is a real larger thing where you're like, are we, should I be buying silverware? Like, does any of this?
Yes. I agree. And I think this is what I appreciate about our jobs. And I appreciate what our craft is, because I truly feel like in the world of trying to bring people joy and change perspectives and make people laugh and make people feel good and try to convey your thoughts and beliefs and maybe open someone's mind and maybe have a joke or a story or an idea that maybe somehow motivates someone to be a better person. I would say under all that, then, that is what makes me proud of the work that, you know, as individual stand-ups that we're doing, but, you know, even on this show, and even still, it does make you step back and go, all right, well, whether that is doing it and doing it for anybody, I still couldn't tell you.
Right.
I couldn't tell you what we are supposed to do.
Right.
Or what we should be doing.
Right.
I do think that I do think that there is this misinterpretation of there's a part of me that's like, oh, we should kill our egos. Egos are the problem. But then there's part of me that's like, well, if you were using your ego specifically to go, hey, if I help people in my community, mm-hmm. it betters my community, mm-hmm. which in turn makes my situation better. Mm-hmm. You almost wish that people could understand that there is a helping yourself by helping others. And then ultimately you did also help others, which can then also help themselves.
Right.
By then also helping others. And even though maybe that comes from a selfish motivation, there's a little bit of ego in it. I also think, I think that's like the good side of it.
I agree.
You know?
Yes. Can I unpack another part? We can come back to this luggage, but I
squirrel wizards.
Back. Okay.
We don't address Squirrel sentences? Wizards even slightly.
Okay, there's three favorite sentences. Yours, I think, is also my number one. And then I also really liked that one. I loved what if they're just like us and some of them are wizards? And if you save the life of a squirrel wizard, it granted you magic powers as a reward. Like, that was like
so nonchalantly added to this discussion.
But my one just above that that I love is, a little while ago, I was visiting my parents and ended up watching some squirrels for a really long time. And I know that we sort of addressed it mid-letter, but I often wonder, like, I heard this thing once. I feel it was like a Attenborough, like Planet Earth type thing. It wasn't that, though, but it was some sort of, where they talked about, like, one of the big differences between humans and other forms of animals is that they don't feel guilt.
Sure.
Like they don't have remorse. Although if you look at like a domesticated like cat or dog, I feel like sometimes they definitely feel guilt or remorse, but maybe what they feel is fear because their quote unquote pack leader or the person in charge of them is mad at them. So maybe it isn't guilt or remorse.
Isn't it always like weird and funny when you see a dog get embarrassed, because you know that that is a thing, and you know that you 100%. See it and you see it in their face and you read it instantly. But it's so funny to me because you're almost like, What does that say about the dog if their interpretation is like, oh, I've embarrassed myself? Like,
right.
That takes, like, as dumb and as smart as dogs are.
Right.
You know, we've seen, you know, we know that they can be very smart.
Right.
That is a level of depth that I think deserves to be talked about all the time, that a dog can be embarrassed. And that should tell you there's more going on with with dogs than we realize.
And I'm sure somebody's already writing me a letter, which is fine. Like, I go for that. We have a Patreon, and we, all those are just letters, like feedback letters, like replies from people. We haven't mentioned that yet.
But,
so I encourage people to do that. Like, always write us a letter about what you thought of a letter. Yeah. And if we spoke to your letter, write us back and let us know how it went or what we thought or whatever. But I was going to say, it's like, I'm sure there's somebody being like, oh, my octopus teacher, they know remorse, or like whales or dolphins, like, somebody's probably writing me being like, they've actually proven they do it. But for the most part, like, I think the context that I was thinking of is like, the lion never feels remorse for killing the gazelle. Like, it doesn't, there's no, it's like, that's just lot I needed to eat. Like, that is 100%. Whereas humans can have this thing where they definitely need to eat and then still feel horrible about it. I found myself doing the same thing, I guess is a long way of saying it, where I'm like, I wonder, like, when you see two squirrels chasing each other, like, I know animals can play, but like, is one of them seeking revenge? Are they mad? You see that with birds sometimes too, where you're like, they're having like,
when they fight, like when hummingbirds fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, are they enemies? Like, are those two, can animals have enemies? Like,
you know, what's the most painful version of those to watch? Huh. When the two rams.
Oh, like, my God.
Jam their horns in their forehead. And you're just like, you watch a couple of those and you instantly have a headache.
Yeah.
But that, here's what I always think about in that. Because I know that that is sort of an alpha thing. And it's sort of like,
that's a dominance.
Someone needs to step up and be the leader of this group. It's almost like it's a campaign. It's like an election. But there's no voters. Someone's just going to win this little battle.
Right.
I also wonder, in those moments, like, is there ever a personal element where one of those rams is like, this motherfucker, and like, and even wins or loses, like, let's say you're a ram and I'm a ram and I just beat you. Am I just like, like, am I going up to another ram in my own language being like, did you see what fucking Daniel tried to fucking do? Did you see that? Did you watch that?
Okay, so that's like, what I wonder.
Or do I not ever think about you ever again? And the next time I see you, I don't even remember that you tried to dethrone me. Like, is that the thing?
Right. Okay, so this is what I wonder too, okay? What you just said. You see the motherfucker? Like, right? If you walked into a room right now with people you don't know anyone.
Okay.
No one knows anybody else. You don't know them.
Okay.
The only thing is, none of you have the ability to speak.
Okay.
And you can't use sign language, you can't draw, you can't whatever. You can only use like kind of like emotion and facial expression and like body language and stuff like that. Over time, you would develop relationships and have a full path to communication of like, this is okay.
How much time do you predict? What would it take to get to A to B from what you're talking about? You just walked into the room. Oh, and I would. Someone comes back and they go, they have a fully communicated thing.
Less than a week. But
wow.
But I would think even within a day, within an hour, you would pick who to sit by just based off the things I just said. So it would start instantly. You would pick where to sit based off of like the whole Forrest Gump.
You'd also wonder certain things. I think that is a great question, because let's say you were like, oh, well, who am I going to, you know, communicate first or try, right, attempt a communication, or who am I like, going to acknowledge?
You would look for this, right? Like,
well, yeah, you maybe look for a good vibe, but yeah, also, is there any world where it's a physical attraction?
Yes.
Where you go, like, and I'm not even talking about sexual. I mean, even going up to a guy who you think is the most attractive, is your instinct. And I know for the listeners, I know if you're going to, well, that's shallow. I'm talking about natural human instincts, where you see this in nature all the time. I don't mean that you still have gotten to know someone and they're a pile of trash, but they're hot, so you keep trying to date them.
We've all been there.
I just mean the first form of interaction without having speaking is this physical attraction. And then, are you steering towards them?
Also, like, disattraction, which is a word I just made up, but like,
it's real for you.
Where you would be some people you would look at and be swayed away from. Like, they aren't an inviting presence or energy, or the way they look scares you or whatever it is, right? Like, if you walk in and there's like a guy who looks like he just got done playing golf, and then another guy that looks like he just like ran security for the Hells Angels at a festival, like, you would go sit by, you would just, and there's one seat on each end, and you might give like a, hey, how are you, to the Hells Angels guy, just to make sure, like, I get you, but I'm sitting over here. And my long way of saying,
and the Hell's Angels guy is like, I loved your last special, and you're like, right. I'm fucked up.
I'm back.
This golfer's never even heard of me.
And then you're like, technically we're not supposed to talk, but
do you have any questions? AMA, dude. AMA right now, dude. AMA.
But I think that, in my mind, completely uneducated mind, we are not professionals, other than comics. In my mind, that is how, because I've wondered this forever. That's how animals communicate. That it is, we think like, oh, do those two rams talk to each other? I go, no, I think that their language is based off of nurturing gestures and vibes and anger and
I think they do make sounds that they interpret.
They do. So you think they do have language?
I think so.
I don't even know.
I think all animals do.
But in my scenario I just created, we wouldn't need a language to completely coexist forever and probably be able to figure out everything we need. So I would think need a language either.
I agree with that as well.
They have sounds.
Maybe, I would agree with that as well.
They have sounds maybe that convey.
Well, we also can't understand what energy, you know, you can't understand what sort of vibe and energy and aura an animal can actually just see. You know what I mean? Whereas I might try to read your energy and be like, oh, you know, I'm getting a vibe that Daniel's a chill dude. But you might then, you know, let's say we were hanging out in a green room as two comics on a show and didn't even know each other.
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, Daniel, I just saw Daniel make a joke and I thought it was kind of funny. And he just seems to have a good vibe. And I like his shirt. Yeah. I like his shoes.
Yep. Yep.
But when the waitress came in, he was such a dick. Right. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of information and misinformation. I love that. How did we get here from Squirrel Wizards? I don't even know.
We haven't even, I mean, we should try to touch that before we leave this letter.
Hold on. But here's, in doing so, why was Owen so certain when he said, so if they are just like us and some of them are wizards, do we know that about us? And I'm not talking your classic KKK joke that is so easy to go to.
Right. No, we're not going
And I'm
there.
Not talking Gryffindor.
I thought you were.
I mean, if someone's like, hey, look, obviously some of us are wizards. Is that proven? Where is that coming from?
Right. Well, I would say the inference in that sentence is that Owen does believe in wizards, like straight up.
Which is making me think the family asked him to go sit on the porch.
Oh, point Scoville.
Hey, Owen, why don't you
take the robe? Take your robe with you.
grab your robe, grab your hat with moons and stars on it, your little Fantasia, and go watch the squirrels like you used to do as a child, because we're trying to have Thanksgiving.
So, but here's the, so let's say that really quick. This is how we'll touch on it. I guess the question is, if humans are bestowed, if you say that humans as beings are bestowed magical abilities, some of them have magic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it limit itself to, is it egotistical of us to think that it's just, oh, I guess maybe that's narcissism, that it's just us? Like, wouldn't it be possible that there are squirrels or dolphins or whatever that also have just been given magical abilities?
There are so many variables. It is hard for me to get on board with this. The point that you're making, I get it. And I think you do have a point. But it is all hinged on the on the idea that we, and I don't know why Owen is so confident, but it's all hinged on the idea that we're like, yes, some humans are wizards.
Right. You've got to go through the door.
I'm not anti-wizard.
You have to go through the door to be in the room. And right now you're wondering if you even want to go through the door. And I am
in the parking lot. I am in the parking lot. I am finishing my cigarette, and I will decide if I have another one before I go into the building.
Can I also say that because we're using squirrels and talking about wizards, all I keep thinking in my head is Sword in the Stone when they turn into squirrels.
Me too.
Yes. Oh, God, I love it. I was thinking about it.
You know what? Rewatched it during the Panny Dimmy with
my daughter. Yeah, I just watched
it
a couple months ago.
It doesn't. It's not a movie. It's just not a story.
You didn't love it still?
No. No.
What?
Couldn't I the whole time I was like, this makes no sense.
When they duel though, when the witch and the and
that's the best part.
Oh my gosh.
Madam Mim.
When you're a kid and you remember being a kid, be like, I always say this, one of the saddest things. Like,
she's gonna fuck him up. She's about to fuck him up, dude.
No one knows when the last time they're gonna say let's pretend is and really mean it. Like right now, your daughter will say let's pretend and she means it 100%. There's gonna be a day in her life where she says that and then never says it again.
Yes,
and that's
right.
To me, one of the big times you stop becoming a kid.
Yeah.
Remember, you're like, let's pretend, oh, I'm a this, I'm a that. When you're a kid and you're in that stage of your life and you see that movie and they go from this to that to this, to, it is like, it's that, that's like.
And then he's the, and then he ends up being COVID.
I know.
Remember?
And gets her. Maybe Disney, that's why Disney it was knew. Not a good time for you to watch
Disney
it.
And that's why we're like, yep, she's got COVID. Uh-huh. There it is.
I love this letter. We could talk about it more. I hope people write us in. And if you join up for our Patreon, patreon.com/penpals.
Owen, get at us on the page. Get at us on the palpitench, because I need to know where your certainty in all of this lies. But I'll tell you what. Do you bring up some interesting questions about animal behavior and human behavior? And for that, I am eternally grateful. I'm like the most great. I was voted, speaking of awards, I was actually voted most grateful podcast.
Really?
Host. I was nominated. I didn't get it.
Okay.
But all that matters is that Todd Glass also didn't get it. That's all that matters to me. Owen, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel
and Daniel Van Kirk. We're back.
And we're back, folks. I know you're hearing those ads. You're like, where are my buds? Where are my pencil buds at? We are here. We're always here.
Can I say something too? Now that we're like episode two of Two Coco, hopefully we got new people, or we'll remind people who've been with us for a while.
We never hold back.
We are deliberate about the campaigns and ads that we choose to do. And so if you hear something on there and you know, maybe you've heard us talk about previous, I'll give a free plug. We've done stuff for places like BetterHelp and things like that. Like that's stuff that we believe in. We used to have a sponsor, Magic Spoon. I don't know if I'm even like, sorry, hope that's okay, Team Coco, but we love those things. So check those out. And then also we tend to drop our own plugs for things we have going on. So
thanks for
listening to those. They're worth it. You support them.
And also just know that we freaking love you. And I know it sounds like something I'm saying just to get you to rate and review and leave a review, but truly whatever it takes, get behind us and let's ride the, honestly,
You've got Bezos, you've got Musk, you've got Branson. Let's try to be the first podcast that gets to outer space. You guys know what I mean by that? I'm talking metaphors, okay?
That would be crazy. Somebody's going to do it. Why not us?
It's going to end up being Rogan, and I think we all know that.
It's true. All right, ready for this?
Ready.
You know what we do? We do really love opening up all our letters. So yeah. you weren't lying. You weren't pandering. Here we go. Dear Rory and Dan, ordering is solely an indication of whose material I came across first, not necessarily a preference. Well, I think we know what they mean by that.
I think they got it right. I think they got it right.
I think so too.
I think they got it right. And their reasoning, I turned off.
My name is Ethan. I'm a paler, and I'm also a math teacher at a dropout prevention school in North Randall, Ohio. Aren't they all? As such, I'm constantly using riddles and logic puzzles in my class to foster genuine interest in problem solving. I was even able to plan a custom school-wide escape room for my kids, which was a ton of fun. Let me know if you guys want to see the materials. It's pretty fucking cool.
School-wide escape room, or you just call it school.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Isn't every school a dropout prevention school? Yes. Like, shouldn't they all on some level be like, stay in, guys.
Trying to prevent that. Hey, guys, please come back tomorrow.
Also, are we getting a letter from the cool teacher? Like, we've dropped an F-bomb. We created an escape room. Uses riddles to do logic. Also, I feel like we're getting his, like, nomination letter for Teacher of the Year, which I'm so far way into. My question is...
School-wide escape room. I mean, that's going to divide people.
My question is, do either of you guys have any favorite riddles or brain teasers? I'd love to add some to my repertoire. I'd be remiss if I didn't include some of my favorites. Feel free to attempt any of them that pique your interest and or work for the timing of the show. You can probably find solutions on the internet, but I don't need to explain why that's no fun. I agree.
Can I cut you off before you get into it?
Yes.
Before we do these examples, I think we should say, because I have a quick answer when he says, do you guys have any favorite riddles, brain teasers?
So do I.
If someone goes, hey, tell me a street joke, I can't remember any. And that's riddles and brain teasers are that same thing for me. Really? Where nothing comes to mind.
Oh, so I used to do a riddle every week on the Goodnight Show, a podcast I used to do that Noah Eberhardt produced.
You know.
And I would ask one of Noah. So I have some that I remember that I like. And
I like them. Yeah.
Yes. And then I have a brain teaser. And then, I mean, I don't want to go full Cracker Barrel, but last time I was up at my cabin in Wisconsin, I spent, like, every day, I probably spent 10 to 20 minutes doing the triangle golf tee puzzle.
I love that.
I love it.
Love it.
I love it. That.
Sometimes I'll be at Cracker Barrel and they go, what can we get? What can I get for you guys? And I go, I'm not here for the food. I just don't want to have to buy this thing.
Yeah.
You've never been on a plane and seen someone playing with one of those.
No.
I'm going to buy one.
You should.
I'm going to order us some.
Because you know what's going to happen. Somebody next to you is going to go, mind if I give it a try?
You know what? Great. We're going to talk to Team Coco, and this is going to be one of our big pieces of merch.
I was hoping you were going to...
Triangle golf tee thing.
Oh, my God. We should, Roy.
And it'll be called Triangle Golf Tee Thing. It won't have the name it's supposed to have.
Oh, we should.
You're playing the Pen Pals Triangle Golf Tee thing. Oh. Try to have only one left at the end. All of that is the title.
I did it once.
Doesn't it feel good?
I blew my nephew Bobby's mind.
Yeah. But the joy of it is so fleeting.
He tried to tell me he helped. I was like, shut up.
And that's just classic Bobby. Here we go. Everybody try to really focus up. Try to help us out here, because I'm not going to be much help.
One. This is it. I am the beginning of everything. I am the end of everywhere.
Interesting.
I am the beginning of eternity. I am the end of time and space. What am I? I do know the answer.
When someone comes up to me and asks me that riddle.
Yeah.
And I'm not a violent person, but that's the person I target to fight.
You go Ram.
I'll show you. I'll show you the end of time and space.
You go Ram to Ram. That's what those.
I ran, dude. About. I get rammed up. I go Alpha. This is when I go Alpha, and I go, I'll take your fucking riddle.
You want me to?
You already know. Why do you already know it? You've heard it.
I don't. I might have. That's.
Or
fair.
You just. Or you just have a guess.
I know the. I figured it out.
How did you figure? I feel like I'm so. Anytime these things happen, I'm just like so dumb. I'm like, I'm a dumb person.
No, you're not.
Am I dumb?
No, I ask that
I
all the time.
I think I'm dumb, but I also do think I'm dumb. Sometimes I go, I'm smart, but then I'm like, I think I'm dumb though.
I asked our friend Lissa Rubin. I asked her three times the other day. I go, literally over different stuff. I was like, am I dumb? Am I a dumb person?
Because you wouldn't know. You're actually That's smart because you knew you had to ask someone else to know if you were dumb.
Right.
That's the problem with dumb people. Right. They go, no, I'm smart. And they go, you're not smart enough to ask somebody else.
Right. That's a whole Flowers for Algernon. That's the most heartbreaking part is when he knows he's dumb.
Okay. You don't have to start proving you're smart by referencing plays you've seen. I'm more of a My Fair Lady.
Huh?
Nice. I know stuff. I know some things.
I am the beginning of everything.
The Bible.
I am the end of everywhere.
The end of the Bible.
I am the beginning of eternity.
Sounds like the Bible.
I am the end of time and space.
I'm going to have to go with the Bible. It just seems like it's the Bible.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
What am I? The answer is I am the letter E.
Oh, Jesus.
Now he's looking at the riddle. And he sees that.
Yeah. What? It was there the whole time. It was there the whole time.
Okay. Ready for this?
You know what I feel like? I feel like you're a really good lawyer and I'm on the stand and you caught me in the thing. Yeah. and I have no choice but to go, I ordered the code red.
You want me on that wall.
How many takes of that did they do?
If it takes 8 plumbers, 8 hours to fix 8 toilets. How long will it take 10,000 plumbers to fix 10,000 toilets?
Here's why this is what I love about this. Because it almost seems like it wants you to say 10,000 hours.
And I have no idea what the answer
but
is.
But that
and
seems too numbers, obvious, right?
Yeah, it does seem too obvious. If it takes 8 plumbers, 8 hours to fix 8 toilets. How long will it take 10,000 plumbers to fix 10,000 toilets?
And you would go, 10,000 hours.
Right.
We got goddamn Malcolm Gladwell on our hands.
This is what I think, too. I think the answer is something like
20 minutes.
Toilets like don't fix plumbers.
That's right.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Okay, I'll read the third one. You are traveling along a path and arrive at a fork.
We don't have answers to these.
No, he said we could Google them.
What kind of a...
Should we let our pennies and pallors email
who
us
does that to people?
I want our pennies and pallors to tell us. That's what friends are for.
Yeah, honestly, and we can say their name. We've been cleared to say their name.
Yeah.
Ethan.
Yeah.
Why did you not write the answers upside down at the bottom of the email like a normal person?
Right, or say, the answers will be in next week's issue. Please subscribe today.
Please subscribe to Highlights. Why did you not do that, Ethan?
Love Highlights.
Do you not tell the students the answers? You're a monster. There is no escape.
This is why they're dropping out, Ethan.
This is why they drop out because they're discouraged. And also, your escape room is it scares people.
I'm going to read the third one, okay?
So why does everyone think an escape room means someone locks a door and if you don't solve it, you die? It's not Saw, okay? It's a game.
That is what I've always thought. I've never done an escape room.
I know. That's people think it. They're like, I don't want to die. You're not going to die.
Oh, I love. Can we shoot a sketch of you being like selling tickets to an escape room and me having.
But I'm like a sign flipper guy for an escape room.
Yeah, you're just outside. You're just out front. You're a barker.
God, that feels like something from I Think You Should Leave, by the way, season 2, Tim Robinson. Such a funny show on Netflix.
Some people say Coffin Flop's not even a show.
Okay. I've yelled that at you multiple times this week. All right, here we go.
It feels good every time.
You are traveling along a path and arrive at a fork. Each path leads to a cave. One houses a dragon that will burn you to a crisp as soon as you enter the cave. The other holds the dragon's treasure. Each cave is guarded by a knight. I'm already off. I'm out.
I'm still in it. For strangely, I don't know. I'm able to follow it.
One can only tell the truth. Those are the knights outside each cave. One can only tell the truth, and one can only lie. You may ask one question to one knight before choosing a path. What question should you ask? Hint, try to think of an insular question, i.e., one you could ask to either guard and get the same answer.
Didn't this happen in Labyrinth?
You do remind me of the babe.
What the babe?
The babe with the power. What power?
Power of the babe?
I keep missing your cue.
The power of the babe. I don't know the movie that well.
I saw my baby crying hard. What could I do? Okay. We'll close it out. I hope this isn't too long. Love the show and both of you. Can't wait to see Dan again at Hilarities in August. That's Hilarities in Ohio. Go to danielvankirk.com.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Love it. Sincerely, Ethan, your pen pal. Okay.
It was a great club. They gave me a bat.
Oh,
they engraved my name on it.
Forget the bat, which I love too. It's the food. It's the restaurant upstairs, Pickwick's Follies.
Also, the Stanley Kubrick bar.
Oh my gosh!
I'm looking up the second one.
You are?
I can't live like this.
The plumbers. You're not going to let our pen pals write us?
Well, I want us to know it.
Okay. Well, we would when they write us the answer.
Well, I can't wait that long. I don't even know how you look this up.
I would copy and paste it into Google.
Oh yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Okay, I'll tell you this.
Rory, obviously, if that's my question for you, I'm not gonna solve it. If someone goes, well, can you solve it? And I go, my only question is, how do I solve it?
Mr. Ethan, unrelated to the riddle, how do I Google? Okay,
Mr. Ethan, my mom won't sign the release for the escape room.
She says I'm gonna die. Okay.
This doesn't even come up. All that comes up is plumbers. You know what, Ethan? I'm dropping out of your I'm dropping out of your email, dude.
Before we go,
well, we should have a guess for these. Is it 10,000 hours? 10,000
hours. It'll take 10,000 hours. That's my guess. If it takes eight plumbers 8 hours,
because they each take an hour to fix a toilet,
how long will it take 10,000 plumbers to fix 10,000 toilets? I can't even read.
And
I don't know.
We're not a good team.
I'll tell you this.
This is Daniel and I at a trivia night, getting last place again.
I know. I host trivia.
Most consecutive last places, and we're trying to win.
I host trivia. Like, I host a trivia league, one of my, like, Hub City shows.
That's more us. We're more host. We're hosting. Exactly. We can get the trivia going. We don't know these answers.
Right. I can drive the boat. I can't ski.
That's right.
So, the last one, what question would you ask? Why wouldn't you?
Is he a liar? And I think that's what she did in Labyrinth. All right. That's Ethan. Ethan, how about you write us? And also, we'll see how many of our listeners write us in and give us the answers to these things, because I don't even know how to look them up. God, I'm so angry at you, Ethan. teasers and your riddles.
What if you were like, can you speak? Only the one who can tell the truth could answer you.
Okay.
Right?
Because they can't talk?
Yeah, you go, can you speak? And if he says no, he's lying. So now you know who the liar is. So only the one who says yes can answer you. And then you know which one has the treasure. Am I smart?
You honestly, even if Ethan writes back and goes, no, Daniel, you didn't even understand the question, I would go, I don't know. I'm on Team Daniel right now.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Even with Ethan giving the right answer and why yours is wrong, I'd still go, I don't know. Daniel made a pretty good point.
Right.
I love it. Ethan, God bless you. Wait,
before we go, yep. We'll leave here. Can I tell you and Ethan and everybody one of my favorite puzzles?
Yes, please.
Now, it was widely popularized in a movie. I promise you I heard it before then, but I loved it even more when I saw it in the movie.
Okay.
I'm going to tell it to you first, and then if you want to know the movie, I'll tell you the movie. You have a 3-gallon barrel.
Oh, God.
And a 5-gallon barrel.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
You are correct. You have to make exactly 4 gallons. How do you do it? You have all the water you need, yeah, but you have to fill the 5-gallon barrel bucket to exactly 4. Do yeah. you remember how it's done, Rory?
I think I do. Are you sure it's 4 that yes. you have to end up with?
Yes. Yep.
And both barrels and all the water is in one of the barrels right now, or what? They're both
No,
filled?
You have a running faucet. They're empty.
Yep. So I think it was that you fill up the 3-gallon.
Wrong.
You didn't let me finish, and then you empty that out, and then you fill up the 5-gallon.
You're like, I
it's
like
so funny because I always know this, even though the first time I saw Dire of the Vengeance, I was like, what the fuck are they? And then I was also like, they're spilling so much water.
I know, I'm just saying, same.
It's about, they're like filled up the 5.
Yes.
And then you pour the 5.
Into the 3.
Into the 3.
Which leaves
so now you have 2.
Exactly 2.
You then yeah. dump out the 3.
Yes.
Put the 2 into the 3.
Right.
Then yep. you fill up the 5.
Yes.
And then you fill up the 3.
Which would only be able to hold 1 gallon.
And then you've got 4.
You are correct, Rory.
You see what I mean? Like, I'm dumb, but I'm like smart. I'm like smart, dumb. I'm like a dumb, smart guy.
Oh, that was so gratifying.
I'm watching the movie right now, if I'm honest. Off of the
oh, it's on. Okay.
And it's I've got the captions on, so I saw.
Yeah, Criterion Collection.
A lot of cursing.
A lot of cursing.
Lot. Yeah, it's John McClane.
Oh, that was so gratifying. That felt
Ethan,
that
good
felt
for
like
you.
Such a good way to end this episode with you doing that.
I can't believe Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible wrote us a letter. It's fucking insane. That's what we're talking
riddles.
About.
Masks they and riddles.
The Mission Impossible team.
Ethan, thank you so much. All of our listeners, thank you so much. I hope that you are watching Rory's wonderful show on Apple. I hope that you come see me on the road. And in a few months, when Rory gets back on the road, after he's done with the project he's working on right now, I hope that you... well, that was announced. People know it's in Deadspin. Rory's shooting a movie.
Shooting a film.
Yeah. I hope you come see him too. And I hope you keep coming to see us. We love being a part of Team Coco. We love all of you guys. We love all
of
you.
Grow the show.
And to Ethan specifically, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Van Scovel.